Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all here this morning. We're going to go to a time of prayer this morning, but I want to invite you to just take a deep breath and relax. Let's pause before the Lord this morning and just let the breath that we have in our heart, in our lungs, and the heartbeat that we have in our chest just be quiet before the Lord this morning. Because I know that life gets really busy. And I know that sometimes we just need that reminder to just, okay? So that's our calm this morning. That's where we're going to begin our time this morning. So let's just be calm before the Lord this morning in some silence. God, it's good to just come before you this morning and to know that when we take a breath, when we feel our heart beat, we can just know that who we are is a beautiful, good creation. In fact, we are more than just good. We are very good. Because that's what you say about us on the sixth day of creation. Very good. And God, we need to be reminded that in every breath, every heartbeat that we are experiencing your grace for that moment. Without you and the way that you created us, we don't have to think about our breathing. We don't have to think about our heart doing what it's supposed to be doing because you already created us in that way, and we can rest and trust in who you are and that you will care for us. God, there are so many times when we want to take control. We want to do what we want to do, but today, may we just rest and trust in knowing that you are enough, that you are sufficient, that you are the Lord of all creation, and that we just need to trust you. We need to trust you with the busyness of our life. We need to trust you with the boredom of our life. But then also everything in between, from the busyness to the boredom, we can trust in who you are to guide us, to direct us, to lead us. Because you are a faithful God. You are an amazing God. And we can trust you when we have to do things that we don't want to, when we have to go to school and know that you are walking with us while we're at school. You also are with us when we have to go before a doctor and hear something that we might not want to hear. You're with us when we have to go to surgery. We think of Whitney and the surgery that she's going to be having in the near future. Lord, will you be with her? And Lord, you're with us when we have just the many activities that we have with our family. And your faithfulness is around us and surrounding us and guiding us and directing us. But there's still this tension that we have within us that we want to be in control. And you give us permission to do things the way that we want to. But I pray that we would always just know that we can and we should trust you for the way in which we should live. And so, God, give us that wisdom. Give us that insight. Help us to know when we are grasping for too much, and help us to just take a breath and breathe and trust you for who you are, maker of heaven and earth. God, will you be with us? Thank you so much that we have a gentle reminder and a song of worship today when we need to be reminded of what it means to come back to you and to worship you for who you are. Not for the things that we make it, but for who you truly are. And that your word tells us that we will one day worship you that is in grace and truth. You said that to the Samaritan woman, and God, it's something that we recognize and we want to be evident in our lives. So give us the ability to think big picture that way, God. Lord, I know that it is a joy for us to be together as a church body, to worship together, to lift one another up, to help iron sharpen iron. And I pray, Lord, that today we can do that together in our conversations and in just the way that we care for one another. This week, God, will you guide us with your word of truth, with your scripture? God, thank you for all you do. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, for you are worthy of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all again this week. We have a few things that I just want to remind you about, things that I want to communicate with you. We have a QR code that you can scan at any point in time that is available throughout the church. There's different places for it for you to know what is going on in the church family. I got something in my eye today. That's no fun. Not going to be able to see if I got something in there. Anyways, we'll see how it goes. Couple of reminders. Number one, we are having a local church conference that is kind of like our business meeting and our just celebration of what God has been doing over the last year. And along with that, we are going to be having a mortgage celebration, because back in December, we paid off our mortgage for purchasing this building and the property, and then our addition that was built about 15 years ago, 13 years ago, something like that. And so we're celebrating all of those things. And I think that you want to be here that day. If not for the local church conference, because that's really exciting, but you want to be here for the mortgage celebration, because we're going to burn a copy of our mortgage because we no longer have to pay it. And we're going to have food, because you can't have... You can clap that for the food or for the mortgage burning. Which one are you guys clapping for? Both. I heard that. Okay. We are going to have food that day. And here's the deal. It's Cinco de Mayo that day. So we're going to celebrate in full Cinco de Mayo fashion with Mexican food. And we just invite you to stick around and to be a part of that. It'll be a fun day. We'll have a couple of special greetings from some folks. But we just want to celebrate what God has been doing in the life of Living Hope for the last 25, 26 years that Living Hope has been in existence. And we want to celebrate what God is doing. That's what we're ultimately doing. And we're going to do that in two ways. In our celebration of the mortgage burning, and then what God's done in this last year. And we invite you to stick around for that. It'll be worth your time. I believe it. So please plan on that on Cinco de Mayo, which is for our non-Spanish speaking friends. That's May 5th, just so you're aware. Okay. The day after Star Wars Day, which if you don't know what that is, that's May the 4th be with you. Okay. All right. Whew. Just making sure, you know, got to keep up. For those that are interested, we have a new mowing schedule that is available in the kitchen on the table, that you can walk right in there and sign up to have a time of mowing, because you all want to sit on a John Deere mower and mow the grass, right? Of course you do. And so if you're interested and you would like to take a week throughout from now until September to, or maybe even October, we'll see how far our weather will comply with us, and just mow the grass. We'd love for you to help us out with that. If you have any questions, you can contact myself, and then I'll point you in the direction of who knows what's going on and give you the insight on that. We're also getting ready with our spring and summer of having the garden growing food for our community. And we just want to remind you that if you are interested in helping with that, we are compiling a group of people that are going to be helping with our garden, and we'd love to include you. So if you are interested in that, let me know, and then we can also just communicate with you about what is happening. Just so you know, we have put fertilizer on it. That's a nice term that we're going to use today. Because it's all organic, it really is, and we're also have it tilled as ready, and so we're getting ready to plant in the near future, and folks, this is a cool thing. This is a cool thing. We have an opportunity to bless people in our community with vegetables and things like that, and that's just a really great thing for our little church to be able to do that. And so let's all jump in together and take care of that. Also, final thing, if we have a men's retreat that is going to be taking place at Cedar Springs Camp next weekend. So if you've already done that and signed up for it, awesome. If you haven't and you're interested, I would gladly point you in the right direction. We can talk about that after church. But we also have middle school, high school, and kids camps that are registrations are open and available. And we've communicated that information. And parents, I need you to get your kids registered. And when you get your kids registered, communicate with me that they are registered so that we can count on getting you church scholarship funds. We support our kids up to half scholarship for the early bird registration. That is awesome. And I don't want your kids to miss out on that. So take care of that. Let me know so that we can make sure that they have church scholarship with that. All right, with that, we're going to dismiss our kids for Children's Church today. So kids age 4 to 5th grade, you are dismissed to meet your leaders and go to their classrooms for Children's Church. The rest of you are with me. As you're waiting, open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, because we have started we're not going to call it a turtle series, but we're going to call it a sloth series through the book of Colossians today. Just a reminder, if you have your hard copy Bible, awesome. If you have the Bible on your phone that's on the Bible app, fantastic. Either way, let's utilize our Bibles, because it's good for us to be checking out our Bibles. Last week, we looked at the first two verses of this letter from the Apostle Paul to the church of Colossae. And if you missed last week's message, I would really encourage you to catch it either on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel so that you can get caught up. There's a number of things that I shared last week that I just don't have the time to share again this week that are important background stuff for this letter. So catch that up in your free time, because you have free time, right? There you go. Right. Picking up in verse 3, here we go. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister in Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. quick thoughts, just a couple of quick ones for you. The first one is that Paul is the writer of this letter. He's writing not only to encourage, but he is writing to correct some theological issues as well that has risen up in this body of believers. And some of the serious views that they were beginning to experience on their views of Jesus. And if we want to get technical, we can. These are Christological issues that need to be corrected. When we say Christological, what we're talking about is Christ and the theology about Christ. And so it's Christological issues. And these are going to be corrected in the rest of the letter. We're not there yet, but we will be in the very, very near future. And so these issues, just quickly, bordered on what is called Gnosticism, which is a philosophical view that that just doesn't necessarily believe in the incarnation of Jesus. That's the quick version. If you want to hear the full version, you can listen to last week's message. Second thought is this, is that Paul, before he addresses any of the issues like we discussed last week, he calls them holy and faithful brothers, and he gives thanks to God when he prays for the Colossian church. So Paul, before he does anything else, he is recognizing that they are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, and he gives thanks for them. And then there's this mention of Epaphras, a friend of the Colossians, probably the person who planted the church in Colossae. He's told Paul what's been going on, and therefore what's been going on, the good and the difficult. And so all of those things are being communicated to Paul, and that's the reason why Paul is writing this letter. Okay, so the verse 3, we always thank God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. How encouraging do you think it is for the church to know that it is being prayed for by Paul? How encouraging do you think that is? How encouraging is it for you to know that there are people that are praying for you throughout the week? I'm sure that it was very encouraging for the Colossians to know that not only Paul was praying for them, but there were others along with Paul that were praying for them. Just like it's encouraging for you to know that people are praying for you, your spiritual life, your situations. If we have sent out a prayer request for you, people are praying for you. But there are people that are praying for you, not just when there are requests, but they are praying for you weekly for your spiritual life, that you are growing in your relationship with Jesus, that your walk with Jesus is growing deep, like roots in good ground, good earth. That's happening every Tuesday and Thursday. That should be encouraging. That should be very encouraging. Have you ever considered that praying for the church is something that you can do, that you can pray for each other, not just when there's an issue or a prayer request, but we can pray for one another consistently and constantly, praying that God would open our hearts and have a love for each other that would be unbreakable? Maybe that's something that we could try. Maybe that's something that we should do, that we would ask God to break our hearts for the things that break his heart, and that we as a church body will grow in family love for one another. We don't just pray, and I think Paul is evidencing this. We don't just pray when we have a request, but we should be praying for each other that each of us grows in our relationship with God. And we should be praying not just when we have a season of prayer either, like we did in February, but let's be consistent and develop a prayer life for each other, for the church body to be the body of Christ. How awesome would that be? Paul gives thanks. Not only does he tell them that, hey, I'm praying for you, but he gives thanks for them. And it reminds us that thanksgiving is vital. Thanksgiving is to be extended. It is to be expressed to our Father and Creator and Jesus, who is the very image of God. And that's where our thanksgiving should go. And Paul demonstrates that for us. And I think there's nothing wrong for us to begin our prayers with thanks. Sometimes we think that it's, let's get the ask right away. No, let's spend a little bit of time in what God's doing, and maybe the requests can come later, maybe. Paul continues, we always thank God for you when we pray for you, because. Don't miss it. Paul is about ready to express why he thanks God for them. The reason in which Paul is saying thanks God. Thanks God for the people in Colossae. He says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Heard of their faith. A couple of ways that I want to look at that, and that's from the perspective of Paul and then the perspective of the Colossians about their faith. Paul's perspective, one of the reasons that he is giving thanks and rejoicing is because of their faith. Giving thanks to God for what is happening and what has happened and what is going to happen. Paul has heard of their story. He's heard of their journey, their faith journey, and he knows that he is truly grateful for their faith in Jesus and the gospel for which they have placed their faith, and he is just rejoicing in the simple nature that they believe in Jesus for salvation and a hope eternal. That, wow, that's an important aspect of this. Now, from the perspective of the Colossians, their faith is being shared by others. Their testimony of faith is traveling. Can you imagine how encouraging this is that for a young church to hear that their faith in the gospel of Jesus is being relayed to the apostle Paul? What could we learn from this? A couple of questions. First question is this, is do we rejoice in the faith of others? Do we, you and me, do we rejoice in the faith of others, or do we have a arm's distance of the faith of others? Do we ever give thanks for the faith of others? We absolutely should. And it makes me wonder just a bit, but I want to ask it. I want to ask this question. Is our faith, as the faith of the Colossians, is the testimony of our faith traveling? The testimony of the Colossians traveled from Colossae to Rome all the way to Paul. Anybody guess how far it is from Colossae to Rome? Come on, I'll take a guess. You can be vocal for a moment. 600 miles, that's half. 1,300 miles from Colossae to Rome. Colossae was in modern-day Turkey, which is on the other side of Greece. And then it has to travel through Greece, up and around the somewhere, and then down the Italian peninsula to Rome. And their faith has traveled all that distance. Can you imagine if our faith were to travel, if the testimony of our faith were to travel? Now, I'm not saying that that if our faith story, our faith testimony isn't traveling, that that's a bad thing. What I am saying, what I am wondering is, what is it about our faith as a church body that is being talked about? Or is there anything being talked about in our faith story? What if our faith was so dynamic? What if our faith story, what if God's story was so dynamic that the story of his work in us and among us just traveled and blessed other people? Here, there, everywhere. Beyond Cedar Rapids, Marion, Linn County, beyond the borders of Iowa, the Midwest, what if God, because of our faith in him and our trust in him and our desire for his kingdom to be established here on this earth, that the story of God's work just traveled? Because it's not our story and it's not our faith. It is God's story. It is God's work. And what if his story traveled? That boggles my mind that their story was traveling 1,300 miles. And Paul's heard about it and he's thankful for it. Hopefully that lights a little bit of a fire in your belly. It does in mine. So if Paul has said, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all God's people, this is verse 4 and 5 continuing. These are the things that Paul has heard about their faith. Heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel. Did you see what's being talked about there? Faith, love, and hope. Usually we see these as faith, hope, and love, love being the greatest of these. But in this instance, it is faith, love, and hope. This threefold reality of God's grace sums up what Epaphras relayed to Paul in prison and suggests Paul's view that these three form what is essential for authentic Christian experience. Faith in Christ, the basics of faith in Jesus, that is for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. Love for the saints. Other translations, like the one that I read up here, uses God's people. If you have an older version of the NIV like I do, it says for the saints. That is love being acted out for other believers. The love that we have for, based on our relrelationship with God, love others. Our love for God is being acted out in the lives of other people. So we've got faith, we've got love, and then the hope that is stored up in heaven, a future where the fullness of love and the finality of faith are assured, and there is always hope because there's always God. These three, faith, love, and hope, are so intrinsic. The Colossians' love was being acted out for all the saints. And it follows that the believing community's shared faith and mutual love being graciously acted out toward each other results in a common hope for God's coming grace. And it will resolve all evil, answer all questions, and fulfill all promises. This is big, and Paul is saying he hears about this in their lives. Faith in the gospel, love for others, and a hope that is promised. Hear these words. They're not going to be up on the screen because we've got to hear this passage one more time. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the people of God. The faith and love that is spring up from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras and our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Paul does this in a number of his letters, where he begins with a greeting, and then he jumps right into a prayer of thanksgiving and then a prayer of teaching. And he does it in this one as well. But there's just something about the richness of these verses. And I got two final things that I want to talk about. The first is this, is that all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. The gospel is bearing fruit. What does that mean, that the gospel is bearing fruit? Bearing fruit means that there is evidence of the gospel that is changing the person that has received the good news of Jesus. Not just initial faith and the promise of a future hope, but a life-giving process of growth and fruit. Think with me for just a second about Galatians chapter 5 that talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, hope, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. I had to start right. Okay, if you miss one, you have to start over, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, I even missed patience, didn't I? You got it. Not even going to try again. But those fruit of the Spirit that is evidence in a person's life as they grow in relationship with Jesus. There should be fruit. Just like if you have planted a peach tree in your backyard, how do you know that it's a peach tree? Not because of the tag that's on it, that it actually grows peaches. Now, if it's a Colorado peach tree, then you know you got a good one, because those are the best. And I didn't get an amen after that. How? There we go. Thank you. If there's Georgia people in here, I'm sorry, but the truth is the truth. Bearing fruit. Here's the thing. There are three things that we talk about when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. We call these in the church world, as far as theology, we call them justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification is that initial time when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we've been freed from the penalty of our sin. We're just as if I never sinned. Justification. And then sanctification is the process of being freed from the power of a sinful life. And then glorification is the freedom of freed eternally from the presence of sin in our lives. And we love these things. We love that there are times when a person experiences the justification, that they have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And we love to look at the future of that glorification when we will be with God in heaven for eternity. But many times what we forget is that what's in the in-between between justification and glorification, and that is the process of sanctification. That is the process of being saved. That is the fruit that of the gospel that dwells within us, that helps us along the way in our relationship with Jesus, where we are becoming who he created us to be by breaking down the sin and freeing us from the sin that surrounds us because of us being humans. And this time period, this sanctification time period, is hard work. It's difficult work where God continues to break down these shackles of sin in our life and frees us from them, breaking them away from ourselves so that we can grow in relationship with Him and resembling the work of Jesus in our lives. That is what Paul is talking about in this passage, about the fruit that is growing. And we forget that process sometimes. We love that we were saved, and we love to look at what is coming, but sometimes we forget about the in-between where we need to allow God to continue to do that work of sanctification in us to free us from the power of sin in our lives. We cannot just love justification and wait for glorification if we refuse to look at the areas of our lives that need sanctification, that need to be sanctified and freed from the power of sin. But we do that through this difficult process called walking with God, walking with Jesus, growing in Him, letting the gospel bear fruit in our lives. That's where we are. And this process is a lengthy one, because in typical ways of understanding how when glorification happens, in many cases, in many theological views, that only happens when we close our eyes in this life and open them anew in the next life, that is eternity. So it's a lifetime process, but it's one that is good. Lastly, you learned it from Epaphras. This is the chapter, verse 7 and 8. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Epaphras. Let's talk about this guy for just a moment. We don't know much about him. We don't know when he learned of the gospel. We don't know how he went about his business. What we do know is that Epaphras was a friend of Paul. He is described as a minister. Now, does that mean that he is the pastor of that church? I'm not thinking so. I think he's a person who is a disciple himself and disciples other people. Because he goes the 1,300 mile distance from Colossae to visit Paul in Rome. I think he might have been the one who planted the church, got the church going, and then was ready to move on and help in other ways. Obviously, he's known by Paul for some reason, however that works. But I don't want you to miss this, is that at some point in time, Epaphras was discipled, meaning that he became a student of Jesus, not a student of Paul, not a student of anybody else, not a student of anyone, Jesus. He became a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, and then guess what he did? He discipled other people. Probably the church planner. Not the pastor. Maybe he did. Maybe he preached a message or two and knocked some out of the park and did a great job. Who knows? What I do know is that he was a disciple and became a disciple maker. Folks, that's our job. All of us. To be discipled and make disciples. That is you, that is me, that is everyone that is sitting in this room, everyone that hears my voice on a podcast, on YouTube, on Facebook. If you're watching live with us right now, you are to be a disciple and a disciple maker. That means that we teach others how to follow Jesus. I can't say it any more gently. I can't say it any more forcefully. I can't say it any other way that we have to be able to share our faith and help others grow in their relationship with Jesus. We have to. If we don't do that job and we leave it to someone else, will the job ever get done? Yeah, because God's word is powerful and it can get done. But are we doing our responsibility? No. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. That is you, that is me, making disciples. We're about ready to wrap up, and I've got a challenge to myself to wrap up in 3 minutes, okay? Time me, just kidding. We're coming up to the end of our church year. I would love to hear who is willing to make one disciple this next year. Someone that you can help them grow in their relationship with Jesus. Intentionally. Not a project, not a person that you know that doesn't know Jesus. If it is, awesome, but don't treat them like a project. Treat them like a person and a friend and love them. But what would happen if each of us found someone that we know that we can help disciple over this next year? Whether they walk in the doors of this church, that's not what I'm talking about. This isn't about grow a living hope because you're going to make a disciple. No, this is about following what God has commanded us to make disciples. And what if a year from now we could celebrate that there were 50 disciples made this year? And they were blessed by your willingness to walk with them. And if they go to Friendship Baptist Church right down there, awesome. If they go to Northbrook Baptist Church, fantastic. If they step their feet in this church and they become a part of this body, amazing. It's not about Living Hope wins. It's about Kingdom wins. It's about the kingdom of God growing because we were willing to say, you know what, I'm taking Epaphras' example seriously and I will make a disciple. Here's the deal. If you want to, if at any point in time, you want to take me up on the, I'm willing to make be intentional about making a disciple, let me know so that I can pray for you. And then in a year from now, we'll celebrate what God has done. We'll celebrate his faithfulness. Epaphras planted or had a hand in planting a church in Colossae that Paul was hearing about. That's big stuff. It's our responsibility to be the church. So let's be the church. Father, thank you so very much for your grace and your mercy. Thank you so very much for the way in which your word has been made known to us. Thank you that there has been people in our lives that have discipled us. There have been people that have walked along with us. At some point in our lives, they have encouraged us. They have challenged us. They have taught us. And they have lifted us up when we have failed. They've held our hand when we were brokenhearted. and they have been faithful servants. And I pray, Father, that we would be willing to walk in their example and to disciple others, to walk with someone in their journey of faith intentionally. And Lord, I recognize that I threw out a challenge, but I would also say, Lord, that if there is someone that wants some assistance, that there are some resources that we can make available for them to walk with someone. It can happen. And so, God, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you that we can look at this wonderful letter and be reminded of your mercy, your gospel, and the truth that is found within it. You are a faithful God, and we love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. It's a joy to be with you. I want to invite you to stand, and we'll close our time together with singing.